I wanna be free. I wanna just live inside my Cadillac. That is my shit. And I'll throw
it. All right, welcome to our pre-show. And as such, we are going to conclude our listen live for now, but we will be back at 9 o'clock. So listen live here on the Phil Henry website for the radio show. 9 o'clock right here on the Phil Henry Show website. That's great. That's great. I'm glad you do that, man. Keep it strong. Is that Macklemore and Fornan? It is. Those cats are good. I like them. Welcome to our pre-show, the world-famous Phil Henry Show pre-show. What is that, man? To my... Oh, it's the... okay, Jesus. Okay. Oh, I know what I gotta do. I gotta bring the notes up. We are looking at our news this morning, as we do. And here, I'll tell you, show the let me just show you what we're going to do here today. I'll give you an idea. I thought, well, as long as we share these moments together, I could show you what the prep process. I don't really show you the prep process. You just hear me babbling and you see me fumbling with the news. People who've been with this radio show for a long time, first of all, if you've been with this radio show since the Ventura days, there's probably like three of you. If you've been with the show since the very first days in, let's say, you know, the next, I would say the next epical period was when we went to Miami. Bless you. If you've been with the show since we first arrived in Los Angeles, and a lot of the Los Angeles listeners think that they found it first, which, you know, you're still a fantastic group of people. But I doubt seriously if we have many of those people left, because radio shows, like everything else, go through a period of a turnover, just like there's a turnover in employment and there's turnover in, you know, any job or profession. There's turnover in listeners, there's turnover in TV viewers. and there's no doubt that there's going to be turnover when it comes to this radio show as we continue to sort of go the direction that we're going in. But I don't think you guys have ever really seen my show prep process. Now, I know a lot of people have said, you know, you used to take a lot more time with your prep. Like they know what the fuck they're talking about, you know. You can take 6 fucking hours on show prep and have the worst goddamn show that has ever been imagined. And I could take 6 hours on show prep and have the worst fucking show that's ever been imagined. And that's the truth. Especially back when we were doing the phone call intensive, character intensive show. Then I got to a certain point in this business and I posted something on Facebook. A very nice man. His name is Rob Ryan. He's a voiceover guy. And he posted a well-meaning, you know, status about, you know, what you need as a young talent. And, you know, quit, bad-mouthing the other talent. Just go for it and, you know, create. And I said, you know, I don't know what business you're in, man. I mean, you know, the radio business is different. You can work your ass off. You can work your fucking ass off in terms of content, creating great radio. It's the only profession that I know of in the entertainment world where it doesn't, you know, if, for instance, let me give you this. If you created in the radio world the equivalent of a movie like, I don't know. Let's say you created the equivalent of a movie like Hurt Locker. Okay. Which was a tough movie to watch. And in terms of box office, I wouldn't be so... I don't know what it did in terms of box office, but you know as well as I do, movies that win Academy Awards, many times they don't do really a lot of box office. It's a tough movie to watch, but it's nonetheless a great movie. It won Academy Awards, and it won critical acclaim, and it certainly launched the career of the actor, the star, and was big feather in the cap of the director and everybody, you know. You do the equivalent of that in radio, and your ass you're buried. No one even knows about you. Nobody takes the time to even, no one takes the fucking time to even honor you, you know. It's the truth. You know, because we don't do that in radio. We don't give out awards for creativity or artistry. We only give out awards to whoever is able to sell the most fucking commercial time to a tire company or something. Seriously, we give out, they have a Personality of the Year award in Billboard and some of the other magazines, but all of that has to do with money. If you're making money, that's where it's at. If not, forget it. Now, of course, making money is important, but there's all kinds of money, you know, just as they're beginning to find in radio. Well, beginning, this is about, geez, it's almost 20 years ago now when we first sat down in a meeting in Miami with Bob Green, who said, in essence, the day and age of big ratings 12 plus or big ratings 18 plus is over. Today, people can be number one in a million different things. There's somebody number one in something. You're number one in adults. You're number one in men. You're number one in women. You're number one in teens. You're number one 12 plus. You're number one 55 plus. You're number one 35 plus. You're number one in morning drive. You're number one in afternoon drive. So there's all of these demographics and all of these breakdowns. So what Bob was saying to us was, you know, don't worry about the ratings. It's about revenue stream. Now, this was in 1995 when we had this meeting. He said, it is about revenue streams. We have to create more revenue streams. He wasn't talking about ratings. He didn't give a fuck about ratings. He was just talking about creating more revenue streams. 1995. This was a full, you know, 4 years before I would go, my show went into national syndication. So the gauntlet was tossed. The, you know, the fat was in the fire. And baby, we were ready to rock and roll. And when I got to LA in 1999, they were still talking about ratings. Yeah, they were talking about revenue streams, but there wasn't anybody prepared to really, you know, be creative in that end. I don't think anybody really had any ideas. I'll be perfectly honest with you. It's not that anybody, that people weren't trying. I don't think they had a goddamned idea as to what they wanted to do. Meanwhile, guess what was happening? The internet was beginning to expand. The internet was beginning to make its way into every single fucking business in America, including radio. The radio business didn't get it, you know. Even as they were talking about revenue streams, that they were, forget the ratings. They didn't give a shit anymore about ratings. It was all about, how do you think Don Imus gets so many fucking jobs and so much love? Don Imus does not have the biggest numbers in the world. When he was on radio in New York on The Fan, and I don't know where he is now, I'm not trying to disparage Don Imus. I think the guy's success is absolutely perfectly typical of what I'm talking about. Don Imus has great advertiser support. Don Imus has lots of revenue streams, whether he's got a lot of fucking listeners or not. The perception is a very positive one when it comes to Don Imus, and so people buy time on his show. And they buy a lot of advertising time, and Don Imus makes a lot of fucking money. And the same holds true for a lot of different people. So, ratings, no. Revenue stream, yes. This is why a guy will go out and say, I know, let's get Mike Huckabee, you know, some brain surgeon like these guys that run Cumulus, you know, this guy, the Dickey brothers. Boy, if ever there was a couple of guys that were aptly named, these two guys run out and they get Mike Huckabee because they think Rush Limbaugh is ready to topple. Well, little do they know, the whole goddamn fucking game is ready to topple, man. The conservative talker thing is ready to topple. But here is the thing. They go out, they get Mike Huckabee. Now, why? Do they think Mike Huckabee is going to get box office fucking numbers? Fuck no. Fuck no. Do they think Mike Huckabee is going to get lots of listeners? No. They knew going in. The Dickey brothers knew going fucking in. But what do they think and what do they know and what are they right about? They can turn Mike Huckabee into one holy fucking hell of a revenue stream for the next, say, 12 months to 24 months or whenever the hell it was they signed him. And they did. I guarantee you, they got their money back and then some on that guy. They went out and they sold every fucking possible thing. They sold opportunities to sit down and have lunch with Mike Huckabee, to sit in and watch one of Mike Huckabee's shows, to go on a fucking golf vacation with Mike Huckabee, to go on a goddamn cruise with Mike Huckabee. Who knows, man? These are all money-making revenue streams. As far as the radio show goes, the radio show only would exist so long as the money kept pouring in. When the radio show stops existing, the money isn't pouring in the way they wanted it to pour in. And so the Mike Huckabees of the world, they go away in 2 fucking years or 12 months or however long, you know. How long was Bill O'Reilly on the air? I mean, I bring these guys up continuously as perfect examples of this revenue stream thing. Okay. Having done all of that and having said all of that, let me go get my notes. Now, this is going to be... Now, see, I got Buddy fucking Bear sitting right here. Ted the Bear instead. Sitting in front of my goddamn face. Ted, I don't know where to put you, man. I don't want to make you sit. I know you're such an ego case. You got to have your fucking face in every shot. Oh, you don't like... Why is that? Because the microphone? Give me a break, will you, Ted? What's that? I'm an asshole. Jesus. All right.
Phil's losing it. He's talking to the bear.
Phil lost it a long time ago. Let me tell you what. Okay, booby. Hey, booby. God damn it. Oh, what the hell is going on with these fucking invoices, man? I'm telling you. Oops, wrong. There we go. All right. See, we got here, man. Now, radio show coming up here at 8:41. So what we're thinking of doing, in fact, and what I insist we will do, is the following. We're going to have Bud talking. First of all, he bought that canned fucking coffee, so I'm going to rip his fucking ass for that. Vernon Dozier on the Chinese demanding more information. Let me just update here or refresh. There's also the NSA. The NSA story is the biggest load, the most overrated bunch of shit in the history of the world. What the hell are the fucking Chinese demanding all this shit? Wait a minute. I'm going to tell you something, man. The fucking Chinese, man, what balls they have. Not to be insensitive, but Christ on a crutch, you know. Now, I understand that they've lost a loved one. I totally get it. Let me tell you something. The first thing that happens when someone near and dear dies is that we all, those of us close to that individual, we are all at each other's throats. I don't know if you've had anyone die close to you. I have on a few occasions. It happens. Get ready for it. If you love anybody, maybe you don't, and then in which case, well, I guess consider yourself lucky. You won't give a shit if anybody dies, but if you do, then occasionally you will give a shit. Now, Margaret will probably get catty and talk about John Berman and this woman that weighs 300 pounds. However, I'm kidding. No, seriously, you know, it is very stressful, obviously. It goes without saying that it's stressful to lose someone you love. But to turn into a howling mob screaming and yelling, now did the Malaysians know something? We think that if we don't get all the information right away, God damn it, it's got to be a fucking conspiracy, you know? I run into this every fucking day of my life when I'm talking to people. Oh, my God, what didn't they know? I don't know. Well, they didn't tell us, so it must be a conspiracy.
Well, Phil, why don't they tell us?
Because they don't know.
Well, they don't, yes, exactly. And, Margaret, you're beginning to tighten my fucking jaws.
So, this is one of the reasons. You know, they just don't fucking know, man. You have to have the brain of a three-year-old child to think,
yes, they do. They know and they're not telling us.
Oh, does Daddy know everything? Oh, I see. So really, the whole world, there's a big master plan somewhere, a big blueprint, and everything is figured out. And you know why people believe that? Because they don't want to believe in the existence of random evil. They don't. People that believe in the conspiracy theories think, or they want you to believe, that they're very courageous people and they're looking into it, you know. They're seeing the big plan behind the little plan. No, they're a bunch of chicken shits that find it much easier to deal with a set plan, like The Matrix, for instance. That silly movie. It's easy to go in and just unplug the machine, right? As opposed to figuring out how we got the way we got, as opposed to using all of the disciplines that we've come to know and love, psychology, politics, you know, the interrelationship of people, sociology. You know, you have to figure out all of this shit to figure out how we got where we are and where the fuck it is we're going. Vernon Dozier on the Chinese base jumping stunt, Jeff Dowder. Now, this is one that I have particular love for. Some clowns were arrested overnight for base jumping off of the new World Trade Center. And they've got, oh God, man, they've got 500 guys on death row. I love it. I mean, I don't love it, but as video is released. So they released their video. I don't know if we have the video. Where's the goddamn video? The base jumper. Here is the headline. World Trade Center base jumper's defense stunt as video is released. Now, I'm assuming this is a slide, or this is a still from the video. It looks pretty awesome. You know, you're staring down from the top of the World Trade Center. But that's just a frame from it. I want the whole goddamn thing. Man, I want the whole thing, you know. Where that is, anybody's idea. But you know what we'll do is go over to our favorite people there, which is the YouTube crew. Right? Yeah? Is that what we do? Okay. Oh, big announcement here for my Backstage Pass members. If all goes well, we're going to have Nikki on the show again. And not only are we going to have Nikki on the show, we're going to have Nikki on the show by way of Skype. So you will see the young Nicole for the first time, as well as hear her. She's a really bright lady. I like Nikki. She's smart. She's totally into radio. She's into music. She's a D.C. native, which, I don't know, it stands well, I think it, you know, she stands from, what did Strother Martin say in Butch Cassidy?
As well as the fact you stand from the USA, and so that's good for me.
But anyway, she comes from, you know, that part of the country. I don't know why I think that makes her smarter than most people, probably does. She also is fun to talk to on the air, I think. Let me see here, base jumping. So we're going to have Nikki, and we're going to be doing something ingenious. It's not exactly that ingenious. People were getting weirded out over World Trade Center. Now, let's see if we get any hit here. Well, this ought to be interesting. Here it is. People jump from World Trade Center, RIP, never forget. Oh, Christ, that, no. New York City Presidium Tower base jump. Oh, New York City Freedom Tower base jump. Is this it? Watch, I'll probably get some horrific... Test, test.
डॉन का इंतजार तो 11 मुल्कों की पुलिस कर रही है। डॉन को पकड़ना मुश्किल ही नहीं, नामुमकिन।
What is the story with the strong Hispanic males in commercials now? Interesting, man.
Good.
Here we go.
Is my back in? Yeah.
This is the base jump that happened overnight in New York.
This is a dream, dude.
Hell yeah.
Everybody have a safe, good jump.
Yep.
Get away. One piece.
Most important thing.
Thank the fucking dear Lord that we made it here this far. He's gonna watch out for us, so. He likes drunks and stupid people.
No. Thank you, baby Jesus.
Dude, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it, man.
Well, hopefully we won't be in the fucking pit freezing tonight.
I hope not.
Fucking solid charge.
Go.
Want that off of there?
Head there. He looks like he's got a camera on his head. Now, does he know where he's going to land?
You ready?
Yep.
There's another guy. I guess the third guy we'll see from his perspective. Well, this is the guy. Here we go. Is right. He got it snapped up. Nope, he's okay. Look at this fucking car. There's a dude in a car. Now he's got a haul ass. This is amazing, man. He's hiding behind the bush, he's stashing his shit in the bushes. Stashing his, what's he doing? Stashing his shit in the bag so far. I wonder if he gets popped. That guy was, and I don't blame him, that dude was on the nervous side. He didn't attempt any commentary or anything. He just went ahead and shut the camera off. Very well organized. And we're going to hear about this. We're going to hear about this on the show, you know, with Jeff Dowder and everybody. When we go live, Jeff Dowder will be with us. Okay, so did we print that story? We have the base camp, base jump story. I also wanted the Chinese one, you know. The Pistorius story. That story is like so fucking weird, man. I haven't followed that thing because it's so fucking grotesque. All the details of this thing are just so... just disgust me. This guy, and I could, and I hope I'm wrong, but he comes off as sounding really weird, man. I mean, I know the cat's got two garage door springs for legs, okay? I get it. I understand that's bound to fuck anybody up. But, you know, if you feel like you're going to get wigged out beyond words, if you feel that your mind is coming unglued because you have two garage door springs for legs, then I would very definitely... you know, I'd pack it in, man. I would just go ahead and sign myself in now. I'd say, yes, can I have the same room with the... Oh, you want facing the trees? Yes, I'd like that very much. Certainly. And the nurse will take you into the day room, and you can have your applesauce and watch, you know, Burns and Allen or whatever the fuck it is you want to do. But Heidi Snow, fiancé, died in TWA Flight 800. She's the founder of Access. Somebody I know said something. I thought this was the smartest thing. She's a breast cancer survivor. And she was asked to join these breast cancer survivor groups. And she said, I didn't want to join any breast cancer survivor group. I said, why? She said, because I don't want to define myself that way. I had an illness. I'm not sick anymore. You know, I went to the doctor and we treated it. And I was, you know, I'm okay now. I'm healthy now. And now I'm, you know, I said, do you, what the fuck? You know, I mean, I'm in a flu survivors group. I mean, not to belittle what people go through with breast cancer, but the fact is you had it, you got over it. I suppose there's people that are really frightened and I don't blame them, you know, but is that really something that you need a whole support group for? Or do you just got to deal with some of this shit? You know, you just, you know, I had breast cancer, you know, and I don't know. Anyway, but this guy's a real wigged out cat, man. He's way out there. We're just seconds away here from starting the show. I think we'll start off with the base jump thing because it's so fucking funny, in my opinion. It's
a hoot and a half. It's just a hoot. Don't you think it is? I think it is. It's a hoot and a half. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to our pre-show. Phil Henry Show. This is the pre-show of the Phil Henry Show, our Phil Henry Show radio web thing, bitchin' cool thing. We'll start in just seconds. Sure, I feel like All right, cut that shit off, bitch. Cut that shit off, bitch. Cut that shit off, bitch. Getting ready. All right. And go.